I don't really talk to the musician or the practitioner about what my talk is. They have a little bit of an idea, but it's just amazing to me how it always works out. That one mind just comes in. So we were so grateful last week we had Derek Hinchcliffe. I'm saying that right, am I? Yes. No, I'm not saying it right. Hinch Life, right? No C. Hinchcliffe. Okay. And he spoke about the sacred, and what an amazing talk he did. So, because the whole month, the theme has been the mundane, the sacred, and the profane, oh my. That play on the Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears. And it was amazing. My niece just actually played in the Wizard of Oz down at the Granville Island Theater. So it was very fun. She was the little one on the bike riding off into the wicked old witch. But she did an amazing job. So today I get to talk about the profane. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? Like, I don't really like that. It's a bit uncomfortable. What does that really even mean? So what they gave us is they said that this whole month, as we're delving into it, we're examining how it actually looks. To suppose, and our science of mind talks about, to suppose that the creative intelligence of the universe would create people in bondage and leave them bound would be to dishonor the creative power which we call God or the divine or the universe, whatever word works best for you. And to suppose that the divine could make people as an individual without leaving them to discover themselves would to suppose an impossibility. Individuality must be spontaneous. It can never be automatic. And that's from the Science of Mind, page 26. So what does it mean to be profane? So I looked it up in the dictionary, of course. And, you know, in some ways it talks about the use of curse words or expressing sexuality in an unconventional ideas about God. Profane is a word referring to that which is associated with the secular, not religious. It can be considered the opposite of sacred. So, but as we expand our thinking and understand that God is present in every experience, including the profane, then we have to understand that God is present everywhere in every experience. So who are we to judge the creative expression of spirit itself? The profane invites us to dive deeper into our understanding of the oneness of life. The concept of profanity changes from culture to culture. I just learned this. I didn't know that here, a thumbs up sign is means, yeah, that's great. But it is in the equivalent of the middle finger in the Middle Eastern culture. Something I didn't know. And in Japan, tipping money for services is considered insulting. Whereas here, that is the norm for us. So I was researching this, and I came up with a story from the opera Turandot. So this is a Chinese opera about this empress, this princess, who was wanting to, well, she didn't want to get married. This is why she had this situation happening, is she had witnessed somebody she loved and cared for be brutally tortured and murdered by some invaders. So she never wanted to get married. So she had that, but her dad, the emperor, was like, no, you have to get married. So what she did that is she said, you have to answer these three questions, this riddle. And if you don't answer them correctly, you get beheaded. Yeah. she had a little bit of an icy heart, poor Turandot. Poor Turandot. She did that. So, but then along came this unknown prince, and because the prince of Persia was being beheaded because he couldn't answer the questions. So everybody was there and they were getting ready to answer them. That new equipment, still bugs working out. That's okay, we'll get it right yet. And the unknown prince came along. So, and he saw Turnadot and fell madly in love with her first sight. And it was like, okay, I've got to do this. So Prince of Persia, gone. So he steps up and goes and says, I will answer. So he does answer the three riddles correctly. But poor Turnadot, she's like, still doesn't want to get married. So she's like, well, I need to answer, find your name. And then if we don't come up, discover your name before the morning, you'll still be beheaded. So there was only one person that knew this unknown prince and his name, because he was on the run for other reasons I won't go into. It'll be a long, long story. But the one servant girl knew his name. So the princess found out, tortured the girl. And yeah, she wasn't super nice. But she tortured her, but this young servant woman said, I will never tell you his name. I will do everything in my power to keep it within, because I love him, and he is my friend, and he is dear to me. So she ended up then killing herself so that she wouldn't give the princess his name. So that night later on in the afternoon, the unknown prince came and met the princess and was talking to her, and she was like, you know, just tell me your name. I don't want to go through with all of this, and we can just put it all to bed. And he said, no. He said, I want to kiss you. And she said, do not kiss me. To kiss me is to profane me. To profane me, meaning to contaminate. So he did kiss her. But what happened, which was great, is that it melted her heart a little. She was able then, in that moment of the profane, to touch that intimacy, that place where she was all of a sudden realizing that love is important, that there is something more to what she had been, how she'd been looking at life. So what she did then at the end of the night, just before the morning, the sun was rising, and she said, I have discovered his name. And nobody had told her his name, but she said, his name is love. Right? I know. And that's why I thought Jill's meditation was perfect. So that was that age-old idea, is that the profane is about contamination. But it's not. The idea that of expression of who we are, whether it's sexually or creative expression, it's about authenticity, about who am I showing up. She was showing up as that icy heart, but then she touched out, reached out, and they connected, and they were able to move through that. And she was then touching that intimacy, and she was uncomfortable with that because she wanted to remain in that place of hurt. She wanted to remain in that place where she didn't have to deal with it, that she could keep her, she was right about those people that murdered her friend, that she could never love a person. But it, to her heart, she went through that veil and into the love. And it actually almost takes us back to the story of Adam and Eve when creation fell. So it was funny, I was talking to Reverend Terry, and I was asking him a little bit about this topic, and we were talking about the fall of creation and about the Adam and Eve story. And what I didn't know and that I learned from him is that he said, well, yes, Tamara, the creation fell when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge. But it wasn't just the tree of knowledge. And I didn't realize it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So that is where our duality came in. That is that when we first dropped into an awareness of this or that, good and bad, evil. So I thought that was interesting that all through my life I hadn't really realized that piece of it. But creation is what it's all about, and how we are. So duality is how easy things can be made wrong or right by one person. So I'm moving into this ebb now of profane, but into duality, because we think of profane, we think of then we'll judge something if somebody uses a word or shows up dressed inappropriately or there's something there, and it's so easy to judge. So easy to judge. I just had the experience yesterday. I was at a funeral that I got to officiate, and the gentleman was only 54, and he passed away early in life due to an unforeseen work accident. But what was amazing to me was how the family banded together. And this gentleman had a bit of a rough life. He had gotten into drugs and had left the family for over 13 years. They hadn't seen him. They didn't have any contact with him. They didn't know if he was actually alive or dead. But what happened was that he then met somebody who was on the same path with him, and they ended up getting clean together. They had some help along the way from family, and they reconnected with everyone. And the thing is, we can judge that what he did was wrong or right, but what happened is, in his way of showing up, the family let go of those judgments of him and just embraced him back into their lives. And then he was clean and sober for the last 13 years. And he raised 3 stepdaughters, his own 2 children. He had 5 grandchildren. I'm like, oh my goodness, 54, let me do the math. But what is really amazing about that story to me is that piece of non-judgment of how people embraced him back. And there was over 75 people in that room yesterday at his funeral, and it was really quite amazing to see. And everything everybody said about him is how loving, kind, and how he really worked at bringing back his karma. He'd been studying Buddhism, and so he was working on his karma. So that was part of the piece that we asked, that everybody put out good thoughts for him as he was making his transition to help increase his karma. But it also, thinking about this duality and making things wrong or right, is way, and again, I talked to Reverend Terry, and we used to be at Rosemary Heights Retreat Center, which is closed now. And we were running some classes, and then we'd advertised it, I guess, in a certain way, that there was 3 people running the, and this was a Christian retreat center. So I guess there was some wording about mysticism or something from our science of mind that triggered one of the people running the centers. They were like, running the center, and said, you know what? No, you can't host this class here. And meanwhile, we had been slowly growing there, kind of like your umbrella, and they were growing in it, but it had space for them to continue on. It had space for us at that time to continue growing into that possibility of a larger center than what we had. But what happened was, this one person went to the other 2 people and said, I don't think this aligns with us. I think they're talking about something evil, and we need to shut it down. So they said we couldn't teach the class, and then actually they gave us the boot. We were no longer welcome at the retreat center. But so it's kind of interesting that this one person decided that this was how it was and went on a campaign to make us wrong, rather than embracing the oneness that we're all here as one, that we're all in this together. So this week we're being invited to color outside of the lines a little bit and to consider what is spiritual and what would be an appropriate. You know, sometimes I was thinking about, would it be inappropriate to have maybe a DJ here at a spiritual center? Or how about a burlesque show as a fundraiser? Do we have thoughts around that? Right? I know it's one of those things. I'm just saying. But if we are striving to be a world that works for one, striving to be that place that people feel safe and included, we have to open up our minds to what is possible. What are other opportunities? How can we show up in other ways that will allow that? So offering a, I know there's the White Rock Pride right now is offering a drag show, I believe, for their fundraiser. But that can be spiritual as well. It's like Jill and I always talk about, and again, you guys are probably tired of me talking about pickleball, but pickleball is a spiritual experience. But there's those things that we have the judgment about. What are we doing? Is this spiritual? Isn't it? Oh, if I swear, is that bad? Is this good? So how do we move through all those judgments? Because, hello, I'm human. We're all human. I mean, we're spirit first, having this human experience in this messy world. But yet it's moving past those judgments and allowing space for everybody, allowing space for people to show up as who they truly are. And you know what? Sometimes we take that misstep, and I don't always show up bright and shiny. My husband will tell you that. But I work at it every day. I work at making new connections. I work at letting people be where they are on their journey and not worry that, oh, they're not here, they're not there. Maybe I would love it if they were there, but it's not where they are at this time. So it's letting go of those judgments. It's letting go of that duality of where we are and really tap into unity, the unity of the one, the unity of that divine essence that is within all of us. So how do we do that? Well, Jill led a perfect meditation on love today. That is one way. We dip into our spiritual practices. We can take a class within, and then we can do meditation on our own. We can do prayer on our own. And it's not worrying about, am I doing this right or wrong? Or is, oh, I don't have, here at Centers for Spiritual Living, we do what is called a five-step prayer, which we call an affirmative prayer or a spiritual mind treatment. So everybody goes, gets a little bit, well, I don't know how to do that. But that is okay. The part is just knowing that we're connecting with that divine source, that divine being that is within us to start. And if you can get that part started, then you can always talk to one of our practitioners. You can read in all the different Science of Mind books on how to do the five steps. But it's all about first unification and knowing that we are one with that one mind and that there's only the one thing. So once we get into that, and we look at each other through that eyes of that unity rather than separation, rather than eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, we bring it back. And, you know, I don't want to put rose-colored glasses on and say things out there in the world don't happen, because they do. Bad things happen, and we just have to, where it works for us is to move through that and see how we respond to it. And know that the only thing that we can do is our own work and how control how we are and move into forgiveness. And sometimes it's about forgiving ourselves rather than maybe the person out there. I mean, that works if you can forgive them as well, for sure. But if we can forgive ourselves even for holding on to that hurt and holding on to that pain. Because have you ever had that? There's this saying, it's like I'll eat the poison, but expecting the other person to die. I don't know. There's a saying, something like that. But that's that piece when I'm mad at somebody and I'm like stomping around like, oh. And the thing is, they have no idea I'm even mad at them. So the only person that's hurt is me. And so I can clean up my side of the street by calling them, by checking in on them, saying, hey, this is a story I made up. Is it true? And they'll go, yes, or they'll go, no. But it's when we tap into that. So this week, I invite you to color outside of the lines. And let's make room for the profane to enter the sacred. Expanding our own understanding of the profane invite subcultures often excluded from spiritual communities to participate. If we're truly creating that world that works for everyone, it's important for our spiritual centers to host events and activities that appeal to all people of all walks of life. We're being inspired to step out of our comfort zones and have a different way of thinking. I know I don't like to go there sometimes. I like to stay comfortable, but that's when I'm uncomfortable, that's when I know I'm growing. That's when I know I'm shifting in my consciousness. Ernest Holmes says, all of life is bound together by one common law of love, and love is the self-givingness of spirit. That's in The Science of Mind, page 330. One last story to finish off. In the song Truth Hurts, there's a rapper called Lizzo who says, I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch. Excuse my language. See, look at that. I was just like, oh, the minister up here swore. Lizzo is a global phenomenon who redefines sexuality, cultural standards of beauty, self-expression. She reframes what it means to be that in songs like Good as Hell, inspired people around the world to kick off their shoes, take a deep breath, and to focus on themselves. She's also known for sharing affirmations at her concerts and inviting attendees to bring self-care practices into their week. I love this. She suggests at her concert that you go home, look in the mirror, and say, I love you. Go home, look in the mirror, and tell yourself that you love yourself. So, and that you are beautiful and that you can do anything. So artists like Lizzo invite us to see the sacred in that profane. So our homework this week is to go home, look in that mirror, and tell yourself that you love yourself. I love you, you are beautiful, and you matter. Each of one of you here does. And then you can ask yourself, how can I express myself more authentically and live my truth out loud? Homework, homework, homework. So with that, let's take that into prayer. Knowing that there is this one life, that unity of all things, that divine source that is operating right here, right now, in, through, and as each of us. As each of us are that authentic expression of the divine source. So today I claim and know the beauty that surrounds me. I release judgments. I release old patterns and thoughts that keep me inside my box. Today, I claim that joy and love that allows my heart to open and see others in a different light. I allow my heart to open and be authentically who I am. Knowing that I am, there is always a piece of me that is always whole, perfect, and complete. There's nothing outside of me that needs to change. I can choose today to be happy. I can choose to be joyful. I know that life is unfolding for my good. So as life unfolds in perfection, in love, in joy, I know that everything is wonderful. And it's not wearing those rose-colored glasses, but I step into that place of being whole, that place of being love expressed, that place of being gratitude expressed, of love, grace, and gratitude. I allow this to permeate my whole being. I know that I am love expressed, as each of you are love expressed. So with gratitude and joy in my heart, I let these words go to that law of mind that right action is already happening. It is already unfolding, the abundance, the joy, the love that is rippling out into the world, starting right here, right now. I let it go. I let it be, and ask you to join me in saying, and so it is.